down the things that God is saying to you as we go through this message, okay? There's a lot of dark things happening, but he's the light. And honestly, all that's happening, all this darkness, all these trials, all they're going to do is prove who God is. That's all they're going to do. And we're going to stand firm, and we're not going to give in. And that's why we're here tonight, is to stay unified on this. Get ready. Get ready. Because the things that we think we love, God's going to show us the truth about those things. Because he wants our heart and our affections on things that are going to bring life to us and bring his love through us. So don't be sad. Be glad while God's doing these realignments. Just let it be him. Amen. So tonight I had planned on moving ahead to just verses 12 and 13. But tonight I felt strongly that I needed to go back and bring in verses 10 through 13. Let's read those. They're on your notes. So a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Not victories, but strategies. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Satan is a spirit being, and he has a purpose and an intention that his attacks, knowing that we are spirit beings, and him being a spirit being, the whole purpose and the intention is to get me to start operating in the flesh and not in the spirit. And tonight, I want you to hear me. Every attack he brings is going to show me a place where there is God, and it's going to show me where I need to trust God more, and it's going to show me where there's a place of value that I don't see. Because that's why he comes and tests us and wants to get us to get in agreement and give up the ground that we're taking in the spirit and get caught up in the things of the flesh, and we're not going to do it. So when he says a final word, some versions are going to say finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Who's he talking about? The Lord. Who's he talking to? Us. Who are we? We're the church. We're the believers. We're the ones who believe in him. So that's who the message is for. And I want to tell you, this whole series has been a precursor to get us ready. It's like a basic training that we've gone through so that we can recognize and get rid of anything that's going to tell us who we are and who he's not. It's going to have to, this basic training, the purpose of it is so that we don't have a first nature, we don't have a second nature, we're not walking in the natural, we're going to start walking in the supernatural. And anybody that's been through any kind of a fitness program or any kind of a military program, they break them down so that no longer do they think with reasoning, but they think with one purpose, and it overrides that man nature that wants to take over. That's what the Spirit of God is doing. I want you to recognize that every trial, every pain you're going through is because God wants us to be so tuned into him that I don't have a second nature. I'm supernatural. That I'm walking and trusting and believing in him. So it's important tonight. Let's look real quickly at the word finally. On the back of your notes, I have where this is in the, where I found it in the word. Six times. This word is loipon. Loipon. The accent is on the second syllable. And it means remaining, the rest, hereafter, for the future, henceforth, at last, already, for the rest, besides, moreover. So there's only going to be rest after we decide there's no more rest of the story. You with me? When we decide, when God said, it is finished, what did he put at the end of that sentence? What's that little dot called? A period. Does that mean there's anything else that's added to it? No. So here's the way I'm going to look at that. tonight, I want you to realize that when he says it is finished, period, I don't need to think on what if, I don't need to think how come, and I don't need to try to worry about, you know, it's like a marriage vow from this day forward, okay? So that's how I'm looking at it. If you want to rest, you're going to have to settle it that from this day forward, God's the one in control. I'm not going to be tossed around, and I'm not going to believe the lies. So let's see what he's saying about the word finally, how important that is. Finally, 2 Corinthians 13:11, brethren, farewell. Hey, finally, there's an end to this. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Just settle it. Ephesians 6:10, our scripture tonight. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, Philippians 1:3, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:8, and finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or pure or lovely or of good report, if there be any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. Annette Langford tells a story. I didn't ask her if I could tell this, so we won't tell her. But she tells a story of working over in the food and clothing. And she said that there was this lady that would volunteer, and she would always tell her how things needed to be done. And, you know, there can only be one lead, right? There can only be one person who sees how things need to be done. But this lady just insisted that everything she did was wrong. And when Annette would say, well, we're just going to do, she'd go, whatever, like that, and roll her eyes, whatever. And she said she got so tired of it, and she took it before the Lord, and she's like, Lord, what should I do? And she said she didn't hear anything. But the next day she got out there, they started in, and sure enough, she told her how it needed to happen, and she goes, whatever. And Annette said, I just start saying, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. And she said she just looked in shock, but she never said it to me again, right? So finally, let's put an end to that. Finally, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And the last one is 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. And I think what that's really saying to us is not be pitiful as in wanting people to feel sorry for you, but be needy for the Lord. Don't think that you're better than anybody else or you don't need the word and to come together. So finally, let's just settle it. I need some rest. God, I'm just done with this and I'm going to trust you. Now, I don't want you to have to go through more things, but there's a pressing that's happening right now. Things are dark, and you just think, oh, if I could just find this all seems so uncertain. But I'm telling you, it's because God wants us completely dependent on him. And if he loves you, he's going to take away those crutches because they are making us dependent on the things of the world and our own means and not on him. And that's love. So trust. Let's talk about trust. Verse 11, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. He does not have a victory. He has a strategy. And he wants you not to operate in the spirit, but he wants you to operate in the flesh and get caught up in this stuff. And we've got to make the second nature decision. I won't bite. I'm not taking your bait. Listen, if he can't get you to cave, he's going to go after your kids. If he can't do it through your kids, once you release them to the Lord, he's going to go through a job situation. If he can't do it through a job situation, he's going to bring up an enemy against you that you didn't even know was an enemy, because God wants all these ties, these soul, these areas of the mind, the will, and the emotions, all these emotional ties broken so that we are dependent on him, so that God can bring us what we need and not what we think we want or we think we need. We don't know what we need. We don't know what we need, but he does. and I'm going to trust him for that. So here's this. I'm going to trust God as the maker of me and you. I'm going to trust him that if he made me, he knows how to fix me. He knows what needs to be broken down that I've put in the wrong place. Do you know, and Vanessa, you can witness this for me and gave you as well. You who work in the medical field, because I'm telling you, there's times when a break has to be rebroken if it has not been set right. We just keep going and thinking we're going to make something happen. There's people who get injuries and they begin to depend on another part of the body. Keep listening with spiritual ears. And pretty soon they may be walking funny, but they forget about where they're injured because other places in their body start hurting. Why? Because it's out of line. Because we're not operating in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And God is wanting to heal our broken places tonight so that we walk without a limp. So that we walk without stress on the rest of the body. This is a time, listen to me with spiritual ears. This is a time of trust because God is realigning his body and he's getting us ready for something that is going to happen because right now we're in the middle of a shaking that's going on. And while we're in the middle of that shaking, people are still dependent on other things. And if you and I stay dependent on God, when the end of it happens and we're still standing, they're going to come to us, not because we're the answer, but because they know we know the answer and we're going to represent him. So I got to trust that he's my maker. I got to trust that he's the cause I'm working for. I have to trust. What is this? He said, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Well, what's your cause, Gay? What's your element? What's the thing that you're passionate about? What drives you? I'm going to tell you what my cause is. Because he first loved me, I'm going to serve him. Because he has never failed me, I'm going to trust him. And because he's coming back for me, I'm going to be ready and looking. And I'm not going to be looking at anything else because I need to be ready for him because I don't want to miss it. I need to trust that I've been equipped not to slip because he says you're going to be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. And what does the devil say? Well, stand firm. Does he really mean that? Because you know you in a full lean right now. You know the wind is just, how could he mean stand firm when you know you're just wavering, you're just barely up there, you're just barely going. I want to tell you something. I may be barely going, but I'm standing firm in the Lord. And there may be adversity, and there may be things that hurt my heart, but I want you to hear me. I'm standing firm in my belief because his word says that though the winds of adversity come, my roots are going down to something that's going to produce life. And I can be shaken, and every piece of fruit I think that is only my value can fall to the ground. But I want to tell you something. That fruit is going to die, and it's going to put a seed in the ground, and it's going to bring back some life. And I don't need the credit for it because it's going to look like Daddy God, and it's going to go through trials, but it's going to put some roots down. And I need to trust him. I need to trust God that he's smarter than any would-be God. When the enemy comes in, he's trying to tell you these, well, if it just happened this way, if this wouldn't have happened, you could trust him more. How come he let you shut up? I trust God. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust what he says. And I'm not listening to your second nature trying to get me caught up in the flesh stuff because my eyes are fixed on the Lord. And if God wants me on a different path, I want you to know he'll open the door and put me on it. And he's done it, and there's things I don't want to do, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord because every place he puts me, he's going to get the glory. Let me just ask you. If Hitler could re-manifest today and resurrect, you think if he went on the news, would you believe him? Would you follow his teaching? Would you? No. Why? Because you know he's an idiot. Because you know he's deceived. Okay? If Darwin walked in this room and said, I'm Charles Darwin, I've got proof, here's my theory of evolution, anybody in here going to believe him? No. Why? Because we know, even guys, they aren't even telling everything. They've already proven about chromosomes. We know these things. Our truth about God coming from one single thing has already been proven, Okay? You don't need all this other junk. But here's the point I'm trying to make to you tonight. I don't care who walks in that door. I don't care if you see it on Fox News. I don't care if you see it on CNN News. We can't fix on these things because they've already been proven to be failures. I have to trust the word of the Lord, and we are getting that from Him directly. So, hey, soldiers, hey, who do you trust? Who do you believe? Because the truth is, you're going to be tested today and tomorrow and the next day, and there's going to be trials and there's going to be temptations because you're in a fallen world. But because He knew those things were going to happen, He's gone before you and made a way so that you and I don't have to fall into that. We can say no. I may be shaken, but I'm standing firm. All the shaking's doing is loosening this dirt I'm standing in, and my roots are going to go deeper. And we need to be complete on that. So let's read verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood enemies. This other version says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. Can I get an amen to this dark world? And against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So I want to go over 3 points with you that I think are really important. Evil schmevil, okay? I think it's unfortunate if we try to dwell on identifying the powers, we miss the main thrust, the main point, the main purpose of this verse, which is assurance about what God has done to save us. Romans 8, 37 through 39, you've got His word on it. I'm not going to dwell on who they are. I'm not going to dwell on their names. I'm not going to go into the things about the principalities and powers and where they rule and which one means over a nation and which one means over a city and demonic whatever. They're all defeated, okay? They're all defeated. I want to give praise tonight to the Lord who's already defeated all these enemies. Whatever power the evil forces possess, they're not out of the ultimate control of our sovereign God who uses even the wicked for bringing about His perfect plan and purpose. I'm telling you, according to Daniel 4:35, according to Isaiah 46:10 through 11, no enemy is going to cause you to fall. They are going to lead us into the plan and the purpose of God. Because if there's something in my life that is not lined up right, God is not going to allow me to be broken and desert me because I broke. God is going to, He said in His word that a broken spirit He would never despise. So when I feel like I'm broken, I think I'm in a pretty good place with Him because that means He's close to me because I'm weak. He's going to be strong. If I'm feeling broken, He's not going to despise me no matter what lie the enemy's told about me. God is for me and not against me. He is not looking to leave me. He has already defeated the enemy, and He is looking to see me through this race to the other side. Because you know what Paul said at the last? I have fought the good fight. Listen, there's a fight going on, and the fight is right here in this brain of mine. Steve would call it the fronio. I'm telling you, here's my fight. And sometimes we feel like we got the good part on one side and the bad part on the other. But I want to tell you, you're missing the point if you think you're the one who's making the decision. I've got to have the living Spirit of God speaking to me, speaking through me to override those lies and say, you know what? I'm not hearing the Lord. I think I'll just stand. You know what? I don't have an answer. I'm going to either sit in the Word and just try to get something from Him. And if I don't, at least I'm putting the bullets in the gun for the next round. I'm just not going to cave in out of fear and doubt because those are not the weapons of God. Those are the weapons of the enemy. In Colossians 2, 14 through 15, the enemy is not to be feared, for he has been disarmed by the cross. They, the things that are not to be feared, are not to be things I'm not going to worry about it because the cross has already taken all the power away from the enemy. All he's got is lies to get me to get in agreement with him, and I'm not going to do it. That's why I'm not going to call it out. That's why I don't need to name it out. I'm not going to personify these spirits. I'm not going to say, well, this person who's on the news, or this person, or, oh, that's the spirit of, you know, generational curse. I don't need to name something. You're defeated. I'm done. I don't need to argue with you. I don't need to figure it out. The devil wants to play these mind games with you where you're trying to figure things out. Wouldn't it just be better? Wouldn't you just love to be like Oprah Winfrey and just in the morning you don't even have to figure out what you're going to eat? Like somebody who cooked it just for you is going to bring it in, and somebody else is going to come in and say, here's your schedule, this is what we're going to do. Oh, we've changed this. And you just walk through it and know that everything's taken care of for you. Oh, your stylist, here's your stuff. Miss Winfrey, you'll be going into hair and makeup now. These people are going to live in your house. So whenever you need help, wouldn't you love that? You have that in the spirit. You have somebody that's providing what you need when you need it and is there to assist you and assist me, but we're trying to look in the natural. We're trying to figure it out. I need to figure it out. I need to trust the Lord. I don't need a name. I don't need to see any demon's face. I don't care if they throw a chair across the room at me to make me think they have power, because guess what? I've seen the face of the Savior in adversity. And he's going to throw that lying devil in a pit of hell forever, and he's going to burn. And that's a trick I'm waiting to see, because that's the one that's going to count. Not these minimal, oh, did you, they got this power. They don't got power. They got tricks. And they're going to burn for it. There I am. I'm just going to tell you, they're going to burn. So who is the enemy? Be clear. The enemy is not your spouse. The enemy is not your boss. The enemy is not your children. The enemy is not your parents. The enemy is not ESPN, ABC, CBS, Fox, or CNN. The enemy is not Hollywood. The enemy is not the head of or a member of Planned Parenthood. The enemy is a spirit that tried to say it was as good as God and is still using people to try to get that plan across. That's not my enemy. That face is not my enemy. That name is not my enemy. Those are things that are in the flesh. And if you try to fight it out in the flesh, you're going to have to live it out in the flesh, and you're going to get hurt. But I'm going to live by the Spirit, and I'm going to do this. And the opportunity's coming to you. You listening? The opportunity's coming to you and to me, because somebody needs to be forgiven because they've lied or done you wrong. Somebody around you is going to try to use your goodness and take advantage of your kindness to promote themselves. Let it happen. Because in the end, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you take care of you, God's hands are off of it. If I release it to God, he's going to align me and put me where I need to be. And the quickest way to get aligned is to forgive somebody and not see it as them, but see it as a spirit and say, not getting involved. I got to get to the end of it all, whatever it is, okay? I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to have rest until there's nothing left to figure out on my part or on your part. There can only be God's part, or he still needs my help. And I assure you, anything good I got was already his and not of my own merit. He needs me to willfully and completely choose to put my hope and faith in him, to prove to all the doubters that he's real. And you and me and we all need to wake up and smell the eternity. Because while the devil wants to keep you stirred up, God wants you to stir up the fire of faith within you to realize if it ain't God, there's no hope. If it ain't God, it ain't going to matter. And if it ain't God, I'm not going to rest. But I want to tell you what I believe rest means. R, we're going to realize it's a real battle. I'm in a real battle. But the reality is the battle's already been won. I just need to get to the report. Do you know that in Japan during World War II, there were people who didn't know for years that the war was over? And until they got that report at the end of it, they were still subservient. Well, I want you to know your general, your master in chief has already sent out the word. The battle's over. You don't have to be in prison camp anymore. Come out, set your mind free, and trust that God's going to work it out. E, expectation that God is better than any other God. My expectation is not in how much I can earn. My expectation is not in a 401k. I'm not saying those things are bad, guys, but I'm saying that if that's where your value is, those things can go. I know what it's like. Twice in the lifetime that I've lived, I've seen people lose large amounts of money. Literally, it made them sick. I saw in the 90s, yes, it was the 80s, when we lived in Manhattan Beach, very wealthy people lose huge amounts of money and literally have to go to bed for days. They stayed drunk. They turned to drugs because of the huge amounts of money they had lost. But nothing that I have on this earth is lost if it's invested in God. There's a peace there, guys. There's a provision there. I saw back not probably 10 years ago when stock markets and things were moving around. I know somebody that I called one day. I just felt the Lord say, call them. And they're so weak, I'm like, what's wrong? I'm watching the news. I've just lost $60,000 in the stock market. I'll never see it. It can't be recovered. And I'm thinking, you're wasting your time on things that are not eternal. But if that's your value, if that's where your hope is in, if you really think that money's going to solve your problems, if you really believe that what I've got in a savings account is going to make a difference, and I'm not saying don't pursue what God tells you. Maybe God's going to bless you with enough money, somebody in here, to provide for the rest of us. Glory. Bring it on. But what I'm telling you is that cannot be where your hope is, because my hope is in the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Listen, you've heard us talk about our friends, the Lehmans, and God has blessed them from a garage building out of their garage. He got to move into a building. God blessed him. He got to move to Atlanta. He's been taken over. When the last economical horror happened, all the businesses in Atlanta that had been there established for 50 and 60 years closed down, and his didn't. I want to tell you why. Because he'll close the door tomorrow if he felt like God told him to. But God had told him, I'm providing for my people through your business. Stand firm. And so today they've been blessed. You know, they've helped this church. They provided for Steve and I so many times. And now Vicky's in a place where she needs a liver transplant. And there's not a bankroll one that's going to pay for that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Wherever your faith is, God's going to meet you at the place of your faith, because they've never had faith in their money. And God's going to meet them and provide for them. And Gary says to Steve the other day, hey, you know, they told us that, you know, when they get the liver, that, you know, we've got 2.5 hours to get to the hospital in Birmingham. And it's a 3-hour drive if I'm flooring it. And Steve said to him, Gary, you have money. Charter a helicopter. And he's like, oh. See, because that's not where his faith is. And I want to tell you something. Wealthy people have blessed the kingdom of God, and that's their part. Be glad for them. But I want to tell you, there's nothing you're going to go through on this world. $1,000 in the bank, guys, to some people would be like $1 million. Because they know how to use it, okay? So get your eyes off what the world has tagged as important and stay in with the Lord. So realize it's a real battle. Put the expectation on God and not anything else. Surrender your will. See, here's the thing. You willfully join in. I willfully join up for this army. Sweet little girl who helps me with Nair in the morning, she just went yesterday and she got sworn in for the Air Force, and she's going to get ready to go. And she was telling me about how she had to take these tests and how, you know, it wasn't just a question and answer. They would have this mental picture, and you had to take a mental picture and figure out how to put it together, and they'd start you out A and B, and you'd draw, and pretty soon they quit telling you what it was and just said, in your mind, can you see this? Can you? And you had to draw it. And she began to tell me about that and the physical things and how she had to take shots and how she had to do all the things to get in there. But she had to agree to that every step of the way. She had to say, it's no longer my will. I'm on your clock, whatever needs to happen. And she said, I want to tell you, they fed us good. She said, they gave us a good meal, but it was a long, hard day. And I just thought in my mind, baby girl, you don't even know what hard is till they get in there and break off your will to get you to trust and listen. And that's what you and I are going through. I was just sharing right before service, I don't know. I don't know what a final day is. I don't know if it's going to be a year, 1,000 years, 10 years, or if we've already been walking in final days 14 years. But what I believe is this, God is preparing us as an army who will not look around, but who is standing firm and confident and almost look stupid to the world, because we probably do. Nope, going to trust him. Nope, going to trust him. Nope, going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Look at what he can do. You're an idiot. Okay, I'm an idiot, but I'm an idiot for Jesus, and let's see where we end up. But I'm the idiot who wants you to go with me. That's where we're missing it. This is a last day army. The enemy is putting out an onslaught of hatred to get us to walk in the flesh and turn against people that we should be loving. I'm telling you, your enemies are going to bless you. It's his promise, because he's in control. They aren't. And then T. Once I surrender that will, I'm just going to trust him. You know what? There's nothing else I can do at night when I lay my head on my pillow but trust God. And there's some questions that he's asking us in this room tonight. There's some deep things that he's speaking to us in this room tonight. And I know I'm with the right group of people. Because what he's saying is, can I trust you in this trial? Are you going to run to me or from me? Because I'm not leaving, but I want you to commit to me. I want you to commit your mouth to me. Woo, come on with the hard stuff, Lord. I want you to commit your eyes to me. I want you to trust me with what you see that looks impossible. I want you to trust me with that bottom line that doesn't look right. I want you to trust me with every fear the enemy's hurling at you, that you're going to be lonely, that you're going to be left, that you're going to be misunderstood, that you're going to look weak and taken advantage of. I want to take it all, Gay, and I want you just to rest tonight knowing that I'm going to handle every little detail in your life. And that's the kind of thing he's looking for, because that's the army of the Lord for the end times, that we will not be moved. Here's the outcome. What am I going to allow to rule over me? I know who the enemy is. He's Satan. He's a spirit. It's not a flesh, and yet his spirit, knowing that I'm spirit, wants me to operate in the flesh, and I'm not going to do it. I have no other choice, because I'm just listening to one voice, and that's how I want it. I'm either going to have the flesh, I'm going to trust my physical senses and my interpretation of things, or someone else's. How many are being led astray by other people who raise up themselves and have their 15 minutes of fame or 3 years or 30 years of fame or whatever it is, and lead people astray? But there's going to be an end to it. There will be an end to it. I have to trust the Spirit of God. So while he wants me to fall, I'm not going to fall, because I'm fighting against darkness. I'm not fighting against people. So finally, the final word is this. Don't kid yourself. God is everywhere. I'm sorry, guys. I remember one time, you know, Steve and I just you know, listen, he'll tell you. He likes to tell people this, you know, y'all think she's sweet, but she's going to have her say. And that's my deal. You're never going to have to worry how I feel. I'm going to tell you how I feel. And you don't have to do it. But I'm going to get to tell you how I feel. And you don't get to criticize me while I'm telling you. Because I'm still going to tell you how I feel. Because at the end of the night, I'm done. Praise God, I'm a woman and the burden's on you. Here's what I thought and I'm done. Okay? Yeah. Enjoy it, girls. So one day we'd been kind of, you know, well, this is what I think. Well, da-da-da. Well, that's about da da da. And so finally, you know, he's like, now, gay, ma-da-da-da. And I knew he was done. And I'm in the kitchen and I just went. And I rolled my eyes back in my head. And I heard him say, real close, I saw that. And I was like, oh, when did you get in here? Right? Because you just, if I don't get the final word, I'm going to have the final flesh fit. Right? Well, God's already had the flesh fit through Jesus. He said, I want to tell you something. He came in and he said, I am done with this darkness. I am done with watching my people hurt. There's no other hope for you but me. He had a flesh fit, and he died to that flesh so that you and I can rest tonight in this. That though I hurt, I will heal. That though I do not understand, I will trust. And though I do not see, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But Proverbs 13 says, if you hope deferred makes your heart sick. And so many of us believers have sick hearts because we've let hope tell us, oh, the enemy says, oh, that won't happen. Well, that couldn't happen because of you. I want you to turn around and start, whenever he says you, I want you to turn around and say, oh, you mean God living in me? Is that who you're challenging? Oh, you mean the Spirit of God that's resurrected in me? Is that who you're talking to? And you just need to step back and go, Dad, he's talking about you. Dad. And then you need to turn around and go, you know what? I'm going to rest. I'm going to let you and God figure this out. I got stuff to do. Whether it's just go lay down, go to sleep, or I'm just going to stay busy in the kitchen, or I'm going to go out and pull some weeds in the yard, whatever it is, I'm going to trust God. And that's how we overcome. And that's how other people are going to overcome. And it's not what rank do I get in the army. It's I'm in the army. The same provision for me is made for everybody. And that's a loving God. I want you to stand with me. You can turn that tape off. What I want to do now is this.